You know, when I was preparing this message, I was on John 11. And I wanted to talk about Lord's love. You may say, wow, John 11 is about Lazarus' resurrection. How can I talk about Lord's love there? But there are plenty of stuff in that that we can look at. And I'm going to go through it. But before that, I want to pray a little bit. Lord God, our Father, hallowed be your name. Somebody's life and salvation may well depend upon how I present you to them today. Give me a thankful heart for all that others do for me. Today, please help us to stand arms linked, strong in your power, protected by your blood, to fight against the enemy of souls. Lord, bless this assembly and direct my words for your glory. I pray for enlightenment for all of us in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I always say brooding over the past paralyzes the present and bankrupts the future. God never takes anything from you without giving you something better. You may weep and try to hold on to the past, but God tenderly leads you towards the future. You may think that your troubles give you an excuse to stop living for the Lord, but trouble can be God's way to open doors for you to share the gospel. We all have public smiles and private tears. We may forget our decisions, but our decisions don't forget us. It is tragic when we waste our suffering and don't use it as an opportunity to grow. What life does to us, I believe, depends on what life finds in us. And we don't always know the condition of our own heart. According to Jeremiah 17:9, almost all our troubles and spiritual difficulties would be removed if we would just call things by their right names instead of explaining them away. We should praise the Lord for His greatness, grace, goodness, glory, and generosity. If you're having a hard time praising the Lord today, you should get started because God's people will praise Him forever. So we had better learn to do it day by day. Now I would like to focus on my Lord, but not till I explain the condition of some people, including ourselves. Some people think they were cheated in love. Others think they were cheated in business or health. And some even go further and think they were cheated in life. When you feel cheated, you experience sadness and despair. In this day and age when cheating, lying, and manipulating seems a smart thing to do and is encouraged by some culture as being smart and imaginative, where honesty and integrity is considered boring and bland, we must turn to the Bible and see what God considers. Satan considers cheating, lying, manipulating very smart and imaginative, and keeps teaching societies around the world to have this kind of mindset. To define love, I do not want to add another cliche to a list of definition already been produced over and over. My attempt today is to explain what love does, not is. Love is a verb, not just a noun. It acts and has got two legs. English language, however, is a very selfish language. We always say, I love you. I comes first. Love comes second. And you comes last. Unlike this structure, Eastern languages, in particular Hebrew, states you first. That is why in the Bible God addressed Israel, you I love. Time after time. It's good to change that. Instead of saying, I love you, say, you I love. I always tell my wife, I love you every day, twice on Sundays. She laughs. In John 11, our Lord Jesus Christ shows us how love works. You see, everything God does, Satan likes to imitate or mimic. Demonstration of love, or I better say manifestation of love, it's so easy to fake. Because true love has certain manifestation. And those who fake true love, they can mimic the manifestation of love. Our society actually caters to that. How? You know, when you look at the retail sector, entertainment sector, education sector, they all teach us with their advertising copies, media, magazines, to have the manifestation of love, even though the true love is not there. They teach our kids at school. They create Valentine's Day. They make people go after certain things so that they can sell things. They teach us to be romantic. This is beautiful for all narcissists and sociopaths because they can fake love better than you. And what happens? How can you tell which manifestation is true and which manifestation is fake? Easy. Give it time. The one that is fake fades away. The one that is real remains. But what happens when the manifestation of love fades? We're left with people who are devastated, disappointed, hurt, baffled. And you know, hurt people hurt people. I'm not here to talk psychology. I'm sure there are people among you that have experienced manifestation of love, and then one day you woke up and saw it, that it disappeared and faded away. And you ask yourself, was it real to begin with? Or was it fake all along? Ask narcissists and sociopaths. They're very good at love bombing you. Our Lord Jesus Christ was pure love. And he showed the manifestation of his love. That's why Satan wants to mimic that and teaches societies to mimic that. Yeah, buy flowers, chocolate for your lover. Say those things, buy these books. All teach us manifestation. How to mimic, how to imitate manifestation of love. Well, what about true love? Because the true love stays, doesn't fade away, and its manifestation stays too. Yeah, a narcissist and a sociopath can fool you for a while, not forever, because they cannot keep up with giving you the manifestation of love. Why did I choose John 11? Because I want to show you love in action and manifestation of it in action. In John 11, our Lord Jesus Christ shows us how love works as a verb, ready for action. Today I will focus on that, and I hope with the help of the Holy Spirit, I would magnify my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord God, use my words for your glory. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Amen. So, let's read about the death and resurrection of Lazarus. In John 11, I'm reading verse 1 to 3. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. John 11, verse 1 to 3. This experience was difficult for Bethany family. But look at it in the light of God's love. In verses 3 and 5, we see Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So Jesus loved all three of them. Verse 1 to 3 shows us that, number 1, face of love. Love hears. It doesn't look at you. It doesn't contradict. It doesn't fight. It's not argumentative. It hears you. Avoid people that whenever you say something, they say, well, actually, and then they say the opposite. I'm so sensitive to people when they say, well, actually. Well, it's such a gorgeous day. Well, actually, it's going to be a thunderstorm later. Well, the government's going easy on taxes. Well, actually, everybody who starts a statement with, well, actually, watch it. Be sensitive to what people say. So the first face of love is what? Love hears. The sisters send their message to the Lord because they knew he was concerned about them. God's love keeps his ears open to our cries. In Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. And in verse 17 of the same psalm says, the righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. What about you? Do you hear? Love hears. Verse 4 says, but when Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he then stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. John 11:4-6. What's the second face of love? Love waits. First, love hears. Second, love waits. We think that love must act immediately, like a car crash, right away. I want something, and I want it now. We can't wait. They teach us everything quick. Everything is fast food, even love. But love waits. We think that love must act immediately, but sometimes delay brings a greater blessing. God's delays are not God's denials. Jesus gave them a promise to encourage them while they waited. Verse 4. The promise seemed to have failed, but Jesus knew what he was doing. Verse 7 says, then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Verse 8, the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. This he said, and after that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus then said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, so that you might believe. But let us go to him. Therefore, Thomas, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go so that we may die with him. I read verses 7 to 16. So, love hears. Love waits. What's the third face of love? Love risks. It was dangerous for Jesus to return to Judea, but he went just the same. The raising of Lazarus helped to precipitate the plans that led to his death. You can read about that in verses 45 to 57. But did it stop him? No. Yes, love risks. Have you ever risked everything for love? If not, I tell you what happens next. So love hears, love waits, love risks. What's next? Love comforts. Verse 17 to 32. I'm going to read it for you. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, almost 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Actually, verse 26 talks about the rapture. Those who are alive and believe in me, they never die. Why? Because they'll be raptured. Nobody pays attention to verse 26, but it's very important. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." When she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Verse 17 to 32. Jesus came to the sisters, listened to them, and assured them with his word. He cannot really help us until we move from, "Lord, if," to, "Yes, Lord, I believe." Don't give him condition. "Lord, if you were here, if you stopped my accident, if you cleared those checks, if I got there 5 minutes earlier, if," it's not going to do anything for you as long as you keep saying, "Lord, if, Lord, if, Lord, if," instead of, "Yes, Lord, I believe." So, love waits. Love hears, love waits, love risks, love comforts. What's next? Love weeps. I'm a major weeper. Till I was 18, I couldn't cry. I was keeping everything inside. After I learned to weep, and I'm a major weeper, something touches my heart, I weep. I know it doesn't look macho, but who cares? Real love weeps. Because it feels, hits you there, heart. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35 is the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. Jesus wept. He had no problem weeping. You may say, how come? He knew he was going to resurrect the fellow. Well, why is he weeping? Because when others weep, he weeps. He weeps with us. He rejoices with us. Real love, not the fake one, weeps. Verse 35, Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man also from dying? Jesus identifies with our sorrows, according to the book of Hebrews 4, verse 15 to 16. I'm going to read it for you. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things, as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That was chapter 4. The book of Hebrews, verse 15 to 16. Jesus knew he would raise Lazarus from the dead, but he still wept with the sisters and their friends. So love weeps. What's next? Love serves. Verse 38 to 44. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The man who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. We today are not able to raise the dead, but we can serve others as they go through the valley. In Romans 12:15, we read, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. A loving heart will always find a way to hear others and bear others' burdens. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Give people love. Real love, not just the manifestation of it. So, love hears, waits, risks, comforts, weeps, and serves. You say, okay, this is six. what's the seventh? But before we get there, love puts quality into service. When you have love, your words and actions amount to something and help other people. Love also puts maturity into character. Whatever qualities you may have, they are nothing without love. Love puts eternity into life. Love lasts. And what love does will last. Love is the greatest and does the greatest because God is love. According to 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Now I'm going to quote something from D.L. Moody, who said, "Faith makes all things possible. Love makes all things easy." Now we come to the last of the seven actions of love, and the greatest of all. What do you think that is? John 15, verse 13. Love sacrifices. Greatest love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In John 10, 15, Jesus says that. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. Verse 17. Jesus is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. He gave his life for the sheep. When you trust the good shepherd, he leads you out of the wrong fold and into the right flock. He goes before you and leads you by his word. And he leads you in and out to find spiritual nourishment. There are many churches, but only one flock and one shepherd. Is the Lord using you to bring the other sheep to him? Why does the Lord compare his people to sheep? Because they're prone to wander, according to Isaiah 53, verse 6. They need a shepherd to guide them. Sheep are clean animals. 1 Peter 2, 25, 2 Peter 2, verse 20 to 22. And we're used for sacrifices. Romans 8, 36, and Romans 12, verse 1. They flock together. They like to flock together like us. You see, Christians like to flock together. You read about it in Acts 4, verse 32. And are useful because they produce milk, lambs, and wool. The good shepherd knows his sheep intimately and calls them by name. He protects them and provides for them. You can read Psalm 23. How wonderful to be one of his sheep. I've seen it both. I've seen imitation of love. I've seen fake manifestation of love, which didn't last long. Give it time, it's going to fade away. I always say to people, "Oh yeah, you think I wasn't hurt?" I had people putting my heart in a blender and press frappe. Well, you know what? I still have heart. I saw a manifestation that it was fake and it faded away in time. I got hurt. But I also saw the true manifestation of love. Please, you should not be tolerated. You should be celebrated. If people do not celebrate your life, walk. Don't be tolerated. If you can be celebrated, walk away. A lot of people out there take advantage of what the society preaches. The mindset. Just manifest. Show the manifestation of love. That's enough. Even if you don't have love in your heart, pretend. Even in relational families, kids manipulate parents. Parents manipulate kids. All manifestation, I'm not saying all manifestation are fake, but there are some that they're fake. What's in it for me? People ask that. Do you see seven faces of love in John 11? I see that. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great. Don't pass up his invitation. Is there anyone here who wants to get saved? Ask yourself only one question. Has anything you have done made your life better? You can't repent too soon because you do not know how soon it may be too late. Pray with me. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I am willing to turn from sin. Please come into my heart and life as my Lord and Savior. Since you rose from the dead and resurrected into glory, I put my wholehearted trust in you, Jesus, now and forever. Amen. The Gospel of Matthew opens with Emmanuel, God with us. You can check it out, chapter 1, verse 23. And closes with Jesus saying, "Lo, I am with you always," in chapter 28, verse 20. So it starts with God with us, and it closes with, "Lo, I am with you always." Not sometimes, not only on Sundays, always. And now, to those of you who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Lord never explains himself in advance. The Lord never does tell us ahead how it is going to work out and what he is going to do. He always presents us with a challenge to faith in him. The word of God was given so that we might better know the God of the word and grow in our fellowship with him. Father, deliver us from the power of the flesh and the world. Assist us in obeying your will always, and shield us from the assaults of Satan. Our joy depends on you, Jesus, and our love is borrowed from you. Let us remember that we never stand still in the Christian life. We either move forward in faith or go backward in unbelief. God bless you all.